Welcome to Yale Cancer Center Answers with Drs. Francine Foss and Lynn Wilson. I'm Bruce Barber. Dr. Foss is a professor of medical oncology and dermatology, specializing in the treatment of lymphomas. Dr. Wilson is a professor of therapeutic radiology and an expert in the use of radiation to treat lung cancers and cutaneous lymphomas. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can contact the doctors directly. The address is canceranswers@yale.edu, and the phone number is 1-888-234-4YCC. This evening, Francine and Lynn are pleased to welcome Dr. Tara Sanft. Dr. Sanft is an assistant professor of medicine and medical oncology and medical director of adult survivorship for the Connecticut Challenge Survivorship Clinic at the Yale Cancer Center. Here's Francine Foss.
Let's start off by having you tell us a little bit about what you do in your role in the survivorship clinic.
Sure. So I act as the medical director of the survivorship clinic, which is really working in collaboration with multiple different care providers, including a social worker, registered dietitian, physical therapist, and advanced practice nurse to give multidisciplinary care to cancer survivors.
Tell us a little bit more about what survivorship is, and are there specific phases of cancer survivorship? Short term, 2 years, 5 years? Give us some details about that.
Sure. There's multiple ways that you can approach cancer survivorship. You can look at it as having no disease after the completion of treatment, or you can look at cancer survivorship as the process of living with, through, and beyond cancer. In 1985, a physician named Fitzhugh Moulin published an article in the New England Journal of Medicine titled The Seasons of Survival. In that article, he broke down survivorship into three distinct phases. That includes acute, extended, and permanent. I can give you a little bit more detail about each of those. The acute phase of survivorship really begins at diagnosis, when a patient is told that they have cancer. At that point, they're really fighting for survival, as he puts it, and undergoing treatment and tests. And oftentimes, the patient is in an area that is very scary for them, and family members and caregivers can be overlooked in this phase of survivorship. Extended survivorship is really after that initial treatment is completed and the patient goes through a transition period into surveillance. This can be characterized by some feelings of uncertainty and being unsure where to go from in terms of the medical treatment after treatment is completed, what next steps should be taken. At the Yale Survivorship Clinic, we really focus on giving patients care and guidance in the extended survivorship phase. Permanent survivorship is characterized years after diagnosis, when the risk of recurrence tends to be much lower, and patients can go on and live indefinitely having a history of cancer.
And is there ever a point during the surveillance or extended phase where obviously someone's alive and surviving? Do you get to a point with your clinic where you feel like it's not necessary to follow someone any longer? Do you think it's important to have some relationship and follow-up program with each patient for their entire life?
I think that it's important for patients to have coordinated care for the remainder of their life in some aspects of oncology and primary medical care. I think it's critical to have a multidisciplinary approach. At the Connecticut, at our survivorship clinic, we follow patients over the period of several months, including right after they finish their initial therapy, and then two-month visits in follow-up. We don't assume long-term care of the patients. So we help them with their extended survivorship phase, but we put them back into the community for their permanent survival care.
Can you tell us a little bit about this survivorship clinic at Yale? You mentioned that patients start coming there when they finish their treatment. Who do they see, and what is the process for a patient?
Really, what our goal to do is to provide guidance to take for patients to take the next steps in helping them live a healthy lifestyle in order to maximize their quality of life and to maximize their longevity. We see all patients with all different diagnoses who have completed their initial therapy. Patients who come to visit us don't necessarily have to have completed their treatment even at Yale. So we are open to everyone in the community.
So this survivorship clinic at Yale, I understand, was the first one in Connecticut. Has this whole concept of survivorship caught on throughout the country?
Oh, absolutely. If you look back over time, really the word survivor only sort of started to become assimilated with cancer care in the 1980s when the National Coalition of Cancer Survivors got together and started to raise awareness. And then throughout several decades, with the help of people like the Connecticut Challenge and the Lance Armstrong Foundation, the awareness has increased to now where we have many dedicated clinics throughout the nation. The Yale Survivorship Clinic is just one of those, but there is a network throughout the United States. Now, the field is still small enough that we all feel it's very important to collaborate, and here at Yale, we're working on multiple areas of collaboration.
What are some of the components to excellent survivorship care? This is a two-part question. And after discussing that, can you let us know what a typical visit is like for a patient after they walk in the door?
So I characterize the components to good survivorship care with four words, and I can expound on each of those. But to me, good survivorship care includes surveillance, prevention, intervention, and coordination. So surveillance really focuses on monitoring for recurrence or development of a new cancer. There's specific surveillance guidelines depending on what the diagnosis has been, and it's important that not only the oncologist but the primary care physician is aware of what those surveillance recommendations are. Prevention is really encompasses all cancer-related side effects, as well as the comorbidities that having a diagnosis of cancer puts you at risk for developing, things such as hypertension, hyperlipidemia, obesity, metabolic syndrome. Cancer survivors are oftentimes at increased risk for developing some of these long-standing serious comorbidities. Intervention really describes the treatment and symptom management that patients will come up with sometimes years after diagnosis, and it's important to be aware of these things and then act appropriately to maximize their quality of life. And then perhaps one of the most important components of survivorship care is coordination. So again, many patients are living beyond their cancer diagnosis years and sometimes decades, and they'll be seeing multiple providers. And so in survivorship care, it's really important to delineate who all is involved with the care of the patient and who's responsible for which aspects of that care.
And take us through a typical visit.
Sure. So at the survivorship clinic at Yale, we see patients once weekly in a half-day session. And when a patient comes through, they see four different providers. So they'll see a social worker, a registered dietitian, physical therapist, and either myself or an advanced practice nurse. With each of these consultations, the patient will receive individualized counseling regarding their diet, their exercise, again, focusing somewhat on the coordination of their follow-up medical care, and then also a chance to talk about the non-medical, non-physical aspects of how the cancer diagnosis has impacted their life. They'll also be referred to other types of clinics as needed, such as genetic counseling. We also have a sexuality, intimacy, and menopause clinic at Yale. We have complementary medicine clinic at Yale. And so there's multiple different avenues that patients could also be plugged into, different services that they could be referred to. After that initial visit, we'll follow up with patients 2 months later to see how they are doing, make adjustments to their individualized care plan, and then another 2 months after that, we'll make a final visit And I think at that point, we usually see some behavior changes and very positive effects that the clinic has had on the patients. If they need to be seen again additionally down the road, we don't turn anyone away.
So do you include the family members in these visits? Do family members generally come? And is there counseling available for them as well?
There is, and we do. The majority of patients, though, that we've seen historically have come through by themselves. But when they do bring significant others, we incorporate them into our visits. And actually, the definition of a cancer survivor includes family members and caregivers and anyone, really, who's impacted by that diagnosis of cancer. And so it is important to keep the supportive people in mind when you're offering these types of services.
Your background's in oncology and palliative care, and tell us a bit about how palliative care integrates with survivorship.
Sure. Like survivorship, palliative care really should be introduced upon diagnosis. So I believe that the concept of survivorship care should be introduced early, and I also believe that palliative care should be introduced early. And what I mean by that is all patients should have the chance to have aggressive symptom management. They should all have the chance to be offered spiritual support, counseling, financial services. And so at Yale, I feel like the philosophy is to take care of the whole patient. That includes palliative care, it includes survivorship care, and it really means multidisciplinary care that begins at diagnosis and continues throughout the remainder of the patient's life, regardless if that goes into a permanent survivorship phase or if it goes into end-of-life issues and hospice care.
Tara, can you tell us what kind of cancers they are seeing in the survivorship clinic?
Sure. To be honest, we've actually seen tumor types of, you know, all different tumor types and patients with multiple different diagnoses. And looking through the history, it seems as if we've seen at least one of everything. And so patients should feel reassured that that we would be happy to see anyone with any particular diagnosis. The most common patient that comes through our clinic tends to be the breast cancer survivors, but we've also seen multiple patients with a history of lung cancer, a history of lymphomas, stem cell transplant patient recipients, and so we've run the gamut in terms of the types of patients we've seen.
And do you include children as well in your clinic?
Survivors of childhood cancer are often referred to our Heroes Clinic, which is also offered at Smilo Cancer Center. That is a program that's offered through the Children's Hospital as well, and is the medical director of that is Dr. Nina Caden-Lodick.
Can you tell us a little bit about the interaction as you move forward with the patients? You know, you're starting with a patient who comes in probably with lots of issues. As you move forward, do the issues change?
Absolutely. You know, there's lots of different ways to look at issues or side effects of patients. Right after treatment, almost all patients experience some degree of fatigue, and I think that it's very important to be mindful of that. They may also be dealing with hair loss, physical limitations such as maybe a decreased range of motion in their shoulder, especially in women who've had an axillary lymph node dissection after breast cancer surgery. Patients may require intensive rehabilitative services. For instance, patients with sarcoma who've undergone limb-sparing surgery may have some physical limitations after their diagnosis. And also, many patients report a reduced capacity for exercise, a decreased tolerance to complete a work day. And those are oftentimes symptoms and issues that come up right after initial treatment is completed. In the long-term phase of care, other issues that come up include chronic numbness, pain, or swelling that can be associated with either surgery, radiation, or chemotherapy. other issues that are important to pay attention to and that often surface years after therapy are those revolving around reproductive health and infertility.
We're going to take a short break for a medical minute. Please stay tuned to learn more information about survivorship with Dr. Tara Sant.
The American Cancer Society estimates that in 2010, over 2,000 people will be diagnosed with colorectal cancer in Connecticut alone, and nearly 150,000 in the U.S. Early detection is the key, and when detected early, colorectal cancer is easily treated and highly curable. Men and women over the age of 50 should have regular colonoscopies to screen for the disease. Patients with colorectal cancer have more hope than ever before. Each day, more patients are surviving the disease due to increased access to advanced therapies and specialized care. Clinical trials are currently underway at federally designated comprehensive cancer centers, like the one at Yale, to test innovative new treatments for colorectal cancer. New options include a Chinese herbal medicine being used in combination with chemotherapy to reduce side effects of treatment and help cancer drugs work more effectively. This has been a Medical Minute, and more information is available at yalecancercenter.org. You're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to Yale Cancer Center Answers. This is Dr. Lynn Wilson, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Francine Foss. Today, we're joined by Dr. Tara Sant, and we are discussing survivorship. So, Dr. Sant, can you talk to us a little bit about some of the non-physical effects of a cancer diagnosis and how that's addressed both in the short term and the long term?
Absolutely. The non-physical effects include issues with uncertainty or, you know, the inability to determine the meaning of the illness. So patients can have a lot of issues regarding why me, or did I do something to cause this, or going forward, how can I prevent my cancer from coming back? At the survivorship clinic, we address these issues and try to use the best evidence that we have to instill healthy lifestyle behaviors in patients in order to maximize their longevity and decrease the risk that they may have a recurrence. Other issues in the short term that can spill over into the long term include feelings of anxiety, depression, and distress. And at Yale, we have a multidisciplinary approach, and there's multiple people who specialize in these sort of psycho-oncology outcome measures, and we're looking at integrating interventions and screening tools throughout the cancer continuum, including survivorship, to sort of address some of these distress levels or signs of depression and really maximizing our intervention to help these patients move forward.
So it sounds like what happens in the survivorship clinic, there's really a vast array of things that can be provided for a patient. Tell us how a patient can get to the survivorship clinic. How can they find out about it? How can they get an appointment? Do they need their doctor to refer them, or can they call themselves?
Right. That's a. I'm glad you brought that up. There's multiple ways that a patient can find us. First of all, I can say that they can call us at the clinic. This number is 203-785-CARE, C-A-R-E, or numerically, it's 203-785-2273. Any patient can call us, and they'll talk to our clinic coordinator, and we can determine when is the best time to see that patient. Alternatively, we also get multiple referrals from oncologists. But not only that, but other critical members of the care team, including physical therapists, social workers. We've even had women from who work at the checkout desk at Smilow Cancer Hospital help refer a patient to our clinic. And so there's no one way that a patient can find us. There are multiple ways. You can find us on the web at yalecancercenter.org, or a patient can Google us at Yale Survivorship Clinic.
So, Tara, when you see a patient, do you interact with their treating physician, say, with their referring oncologist? And, you know, what is the relationship that develops between the referring physician and the survivorship clinic staff?
Yes, so we make every effort to coordinate care, and that includes very detailed communication with the primary oncologist and other identified members. So if the patient tells us that she will see or he will see going forward a surgeon, a radiation oncologist, a primary care physician, a cardiologist, what we do at the survivorship clinic is we make a detailed plan regarding not only lifestyle interventions, but medical follow-up, and then we communicate this plan to the providers that the patient specifies.
Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've learned? You've been doing survivorship now for a number of years, and some of the things that you've learned about patients and what patients actually gain from their experience with cancer?
Sure. I feel that cancer patients teach us a lot in multiple different levels. In the realm of survivorship, something I've learned recently is how patients can take a diagnosis that can otherwise be very devastating and turn it into something life-changing and very positive. And I can share a story about that with you. Jeff Keith was diagnosed at age 12 with an osteogenic sarcoma, or a cancer involving the bone. And this required removal of his right leg, including the knee and below. He continued from age 12 forward playing sports and doing multiple things in high school and through college. After college, Jeff Keith became the first amputee to run across the United States. He raised $1 million and donated that money to the American Cancer Society. Jeff Keith went on to found the Connecticut Challenge bike ride and has been the founder and a very big supporter of the survivorship clinic at Yale. And so I think that examples like this really are inspiring and show us what a cancer diagnosis, how this can really shape a patient's life. Now, not every cancer survivor has major life-altering changes that happen, but I think this shows us how a cancer diagnosis in one patient really affects countless people going forward.
Do you feel that most patients develop a closer relationship with their family members after going through a cancer experience?
I do. I think from my personal experiences seeing patients who've had a diagnosis of cancer, I think that it really brings things to the forefront and helps put into perspective what's important to that patient, whether it be their family members, their significant others, their friends, maybe decreasing stress in their life, changing their job. These are all different things that patients have reported back to us coming through the survivorship clinic.
And another question I had is, and this is in reference to a number of patients that I've treated where in lymphoma we have people coming in frequently for chemotherapy and week after week after week. Then when they're all finished and they're cured, you know, they don't come in to see us anymore. They come every 3 months or so. And a number of patients have expressed feelings of loss for the caregivers, the nurses, and the staff that they're used to seeing all the time. I wonder if you've seen that as well and how you deal with that.
Yes, I have seen that. And that's actually also been described in the literature. And one article was looking at focus groups of this exact same scenario. And the patients reported feeling like a warrior without a war. And so really what the survivorship clinic at Yale helps to do is to transition those patients who have gone from very intense, sometimes very rewarding medical management and have built very deep relationships with their nurses and ancillary staff and their oncologists. And we help them transition from that intense monitoring to the more longer-term follow-up, and I think the survivorship clinic at Yale really helps answer some of those unmet needs in that period of time.
So here at Yale, we have a great variety of cutting-edge clinical trials and research that patients can participate in and be a part of, typically at first diagnosis. And what sort of opportunities are there for the survivor to participate in research? Are there any opportunities, or what are some of those options?
Well, Yale actually has a long-standing history of conducting research focusing on survivorship, And we've had a number of groundbreaking trials that have investigated specifically exercise and lifestyle interventions in the survivorship population, and looking at outcomes such as obesity, different levels that may be associated with tumor markers, and include and other things such as body composition and bone health. Currently, we have several studies going on in different populations looking at exercise as an intervention and its effects on things such as joint pain in women with aromatase inhibitor-induced arthralgias, which is a very common side effect in this population. Also, the effects of exercise in women with a history of ovarian cancer. This tends to be a population that's at high risk for problems with weight and obesity. And we also have studies going on looking at cardiovascular fitness and bone health in the breast cancer survivorship population as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about how cancer survivorship has changed over the last 5 years? I remember going to the American Society of Clinical Oncology meetings year after year after year. And it seems like it's only been recently that we've even talked about survivorship, and things have really changed such that at the last meeting I went to last year, I think it must have been about 20-25% of the meeting was devoted to this issue of survivorship.
Right. Last year, they had an entire track that was devoted to survivorship, and I believe that that was probably the first of its kind. Again, I think that survivorship really started to get some attention as far back as the 1980s. But if you look in the literature, the topic has really exploded in the past 5 years. And again, this has been with the support of people like Jeff Keith, who started the Connecticut Challenge, and of course Lance Armstrong, who started Live Strong, or the Lance Armstrong Foundation. They have really helped lay the groundwork to start things like survivorship clinics, survivorship programs, and also there's been an enhancement in terms of the education provided to providers like us. In the future, I think what should happen is survivorship should really be introduced as an integral part of cancer care so that every cancer patient has exposure to survivorship care. And I believe in order to make this happen, we really have to think big in terms of all different types of services offered to cancer survivors, and really focus on also educating physicians in terms of giving that specialized care in survivors. So it's making things like fellowship programs, including these sorts of tracks at meetings such as ASCO, and really enhancing sort of community awareness and training within the medical field.
At this point, is cancer survivorship a specialty within oncology?
It's becoming a specialty within oncology, but it's not its own dedicated training track as of yet. There's definitely room for that, and I think that in the next 5 years, we may see that be a part of our medical training.
You had mentioned how a patient or a physician can get in touch with the survivorship clinic. Where is the clinic, and is it in the Smilo building, and in what sort of proximity is it to the clinicians taking care of patients in their therapeutic phase?
Right, so it is right in the same area that patients receive their treatment. So we are located on the fourth floor of the Smilo Cancer Hospital. We meet once a week. Right now it's on Wednesday afternoons, and any patient can find us by coming up there or giving us a call again at 203-785-2273. We feel it's important to be a part of the cancer hospital, and so that patients, when they come in, we want them to be able to see us and aspire to come to our clinic when they're finished with their treatment.
What do you think are some of the really important things that the cancer survivor should know or be thinking about?
In my opinion, I think that cancer survivors, the most important thing that they should really know is who all is involved in their care. And while this may seem like an obvious aspect of what a patient might know, there's actually been some literature that shows that patients are often unsure about who is responsible for monitoring them going forward. And so I think it is our job as providers to help patients know who's responsible. But, with such a mobile society and these patients living decades after diagnosis, the chances are that they will move around and possibly have multiple different providers. And I think it's really important for them to keep track of what is recommended in terms of surveillance and follow-up care, and then who is going to be providing that care for them.
So Tara, if there's a patient listening out there who had a cancer diagnosis, say many years ago, 5, 10, 15 years ago, would that patient still be eligible to come to the survivorship clinic?
Absolutely. Actually, a couple weeks ago, we saw a patient who had had a diagnosis of testicular cancer 38 years prior. And he had just now heard about us, and he came through our clinic and found it very beneficial.
And is the clinic always available? You mentioned you have a meeting on Wednesday, but can patients come in on any day? How does the schedule work?
We would love to be available to patients all day, every day, but as it stands right now, we meet once weekly, and we will work with the patients to help them find a time that's best for them to come and visit us. But we have a half-day session a week. We would hope to expand that, and we're talking about that in the future.
Are there any programs that are planned at this point to educate the physicians, say, in Connecticut, about the survivorship program? And I think that includes maybe not only the medical oncologists, but what about all the community physicians out there as well that are seeing these cancer survivors in their practices?
So once yearly, we at Yale support a survivorship summit that provides education to all different types of providers, and we have a different focus every year. So last year we focused on sexuality, and but other topics that we might cover include nutrition, psychosocial support, and this is a conference that's really meant to enhance the education of all different types of providers. There are other programs like this offered throughout the state, and I think it's important that that healthcare providers take the time to learn about these issues, because there are some very specific things that we need to know going forward, taking care of this population.
Are there similar programs for patients and the survivors? Does your group get into the community, or do survivorship programs around the United States do that sort of thing?
There are programs like this for survivors, and interestingly, there are often open invitations for survivors to attend these types of conferences, and they will be there, and they'll be sitting at the breakout sessions and participating in the small groups. And so beyond attendance at some of these sort of professional research or educational programs that are offered, there are multiple support groups and interventions specific for survivors that are offered throughout the state and then, of course, throughout the nation as well.
It sounds, Tara, like most of your patients have a positive experience and actually benefit significantly from coming to the clinic.
I really firmly believe that, and I believe that we have something to offer everyone at Yale, and I believe that the survivorship clinic is a very valuable experience that all patients should partake in.
Dr. Tara Sanft is an assistant professor of medicine and medical oncology and medical director of adult survivorship for the Connecticut Challenge Survivorship Clinic at Yale Cancer Center. If you have questions for the doctors or would like to share your comments, visit yalecancercenter.org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and find written transcripts of past programs. I'm Bruce Barber, and you're listening to the WNPR Health Forum on the Connecticut Public Broadcasting Network.